I'm going to read to you in 2 Samuel 7 in a minute. 2 Samuel 5, David's coronation. All Israel and Judah come to make him king. Chapter 6, David's complaint. What are you complaining about? We walk the power. What a mess when you know that. Where's the ark? And the ark always indicated the power of God. And the ark is gone. After he was made king, chapter 5, chapter 6, where they are, power gone. The tragedy in the life of a man or a woman, young or old, preacher included, is that a tragedy when he doesn't know his loss of presence of God. Chapter 7, David's communion. This is Holy Communion. It is not the hypocritical Holy Communion that's all around us. This is communion. Then, now I'll begin to read with you, please. Chapter Samuel, chapter 7, and verse 17, 18. Then, notice the then here, please. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, talking to himself, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house? As thou hast brought me hitherto. And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of men, O Lord God? Or is this the way man would treat me? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy work's sake, word's sake, and according to thine whole heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. For thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. According to all that we have heard with our ears, and what one nation in earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, to make them a name, to do for you great things, and terrible for thy land, for thy people, as thou redeemest thee from the land of Egypt. That's all I'm going to read. If I've lost fellowship with God, and I don't know it, God pity me, only God knows where I'm going to end. If you have lost fellowship with God in your home, or in your house, or with your wife, or with your husband, take it in God's name for a man after 63 years that has wrestled on to heaven. Put on the breast! Put on the breast! Attend to this one thing. I have lost my power. Where did I get it back? Where did the young man get the head of the hatchet that he lost? Just where he left it. And mind you, when the head of the hatchet was gone, the power was gone. 2 Kings 6. And he can flog away at a tree the rest of his life with a handle of the hatchet. But he can never cut down a tree. Where the power? You can't buy it, brethren. You'll not get it out of books, though books may help you. But get down to God's good book and let Him speak to you. David, I'm not going to go over the things we've possibly heard so often from chapter 7. David, what David thought of himself, who am I, O Lord God? There never was a Christian worth anything, preacher included, unto my learn my nothingness, my emptiness, my good for nothingness. Then there's a chance of God speaking to my heart and restoring my soul. You've never learned that God teacher to you, and me as well. These few verses I've read, I'm not going to stay up on them. And I'm not going to say I won't be long for I don't know how long I'll be. Or I won't be any longer than I can help. First thing David left, his own nothingness. The next thing was God's greatness. Oh God, thou art great. And the third thing was Israel's greatness. And God will inspire everybody, put Israel back on the throne in Jerusalem in the millennium with his blessed Son on the throne. You'll go to the tribulation, you can go ahead. I'm not coming with you. That's plain enough. I want you to notice this briefly, you please. David's nothingness. No, that wounds the pride. We shouldn't have any pride. Well, that's what got the devil cast out of heaven. It's an abominable thing. It's a hateful thing. It's an obnoxious thing. Pride. Who am I, O Lord God? Picture the man a minute. Not long ago, he's a shepherd's boy, minding a few sheep on the hills of Judea. The son of a poor man. Here I am. On the throne of Israel, God's earthly kingdom, and I'm on the throne. Who am I, Lord God? Why am I not in hell long ago? Answer the question for yourself. You can't do it. Neither can I. Next thing you learned was Israel's greatness. And the fourth thing you learned was Israel, Egypt's emptiness. And Egypt's a picture of the world. And I never knew in all my life the world is in amongst God's people that I see just now. I'm speaking slowly, plainly, and definitely. After 64 years almost of wrestling on to heaven, I've never seen the world amongst God's dear people. In the person, in the home, and elsewhere, as I do just now. Have you no conscience about it? Have you no conscience about it? Is it anything in your home when a neighbor comes in, or somebody else comes in, the electricity man, or the gas man, or the coal man, is there anything in your house to attract his attention? His home is different from anybody else. He should feel that. I'm not going to preach from these four things. How much is what you're going to preach from? I'll tell you when I finish. But notice as well, after David went in, then, don't leave your bed in a hurry. You have spiritual indigestion. Then, after the Lord given victory, after victory and power, after power, no, after God said, no, David. I'll not allow you to build me a house. But I'll build you one. Which he did. After God said to David, no. Then went King David in. And he said he's going to stay a while. Never stay too long in your neighbor's house. It'll end in gossip. And that will spread the world over. Think of the man as well as the woman, you know. You've got things to spare. Don't forget, it's not your own. And I don't know any better way you can spend it under your Bible. Asking God to help you to find out there may be some little thing in your heart that you don't know about, or mine too. Or some little thing you've neglected that has grieved the Spirit of God and has grieved somebody else. And if you grieve somebody else, then you ought to go and confess it to them. Get forgiveness from them and from God as well. Then one thing there with this funny stuff he's going to say a while. I want you to see the result of David sitting in God's presence. Next to the roots to do no doubt. chapter 7. The result of David sitting in God's presence, brethren and sisters, when will they learn to pray and pray again? Men and women will be jammed in around it or other doors. God's people living worldly men and women are worldly lives. The Lord's coming. What are we doing about it? First thing happens after David sat in God's presence is victory. You need that. Who do you do? Pray over, maybe over yourself. You're bad tempered or something. You may be as pious as the Pope at the Lord's table, where they may have man on the platform. But what am I in my home? David gets to sitting in God's presence. First of all, conquest. Read chapter 8 a little. He smote the Philistines. He smote a whole lot more of them. I'll not go over them now. They all fell before David after. He sat in God's presence. You can't contradict me when I tell you. But you know what I'm speaking from to be a fact. Maybe you want a victory in your own home, over your temper, or your wife, or your husband. Victory when you are alone with God and no other place to go. Remember a man and a woman and they were a good pair. They weren't young, they were saved, wasn't in the assembly. The little boy, I think about 3 years of age. Man, you'd be surprised to know what the notice at 3 years of age that would teach you some of them. There was a bit of a quarrel, I'll not describe it, but 2 years between this dear man and his wife. And it's more than likely been with you and your wife too, if everything was known. Never try to make yourself believe you are somebody better than somebody else. God knows the heart. The little fellow was in his cot sleeping. And he heard this loud talking. He thought it was too early in the morning for it. So the fellow got up on his knees and he looked over the edge of the curtain. And his father was speaking a bit loudly to his wife. The little lad knew that wasn't the way that he spoke to her generally. That wasn't the way she spoke to him generally. At last the man got excited and said something he shouldn't have said. And the little boy said, "Daddy, say a prayer." "I'm saying that to you and I'm saying it to myself. I've no right to preach to you what I don't practice. And mind you, I didn't fall down from Jupiter. You all know me. You know where I live to." First thing after David sitting in God's presence is victory. The Philistines, the Moabites. Where did the Moabites come from? The Moabites and the Ammonites were the two sons of Lot from his two daughters. Hadadezer to Rehob. Two into Damascus, and even over them all, they all fall before David after he sat in God's presence. And if I have my life to live over again, I don't think I will. I would pray more than ever I've read or preached. And I've been preaching for 44 years. I tell you what it is, brethren and sisters. Let us get down this afternoon to business with God. It's not what have I got in my head, what have I got in my heart. That's it. Can't play tricks on God Almighty, brethren. He'll not allow you to do it. You can pretend to be what you like. But mark this, it's only God knows the heart. Now ask for David's son, if you try a bit more of it. I've been trying this last few weeks. God put me in a hospital for a month. And I'll never forget it while I live. And I've been trying this last 2 months to get down to the praying as never before. And without it, I can only be a hindrance and a crutch. Father, I'm praying. I'm not praying, I'm a carnal man or I'm a carnal woman. It's a pity, for all time is short, and the Lord is coming. How do you got in your pocket? How do you got in your home? 3 wild geese flying up a wall is no good to anybody coming in. Have you never got a text of God's word? You used to have them. And anybody came to the front door without getting into the house at all, of it to your text, it might keep them out of hell. So you ought to try that. A man said to me, I was on the back street the other day, and he said, Frank, what are you doing here? So I'm trying to keep the people out of hell. And that's the business of every believer. My preaching, my singing, my everything goes for nothing. This is the practical end of it. And I'm not that, I'm nothing, and I'm a hypocrite for being on the platform. Next thing now, chapter 9. After he sat in God's presence, he is compassionate. And you could all do a little bit more of that. Another old man come to have a long day. He did that, and I know what that meant. I'm going to give him something. The bad-tongued old rascal. And to say, yes, I knew we'd give me something, but those people over there, Professor Medication, they give me my job. That's their business, not mine, to get out through the gate. See that? He is compassion, fervent, amazing man. All power at his feet. Where is Mr. Bishop? A poor cripple. I will put him in an old home someplace. Where is Mr. Bishop? The son of David's greatest enemy. What did he say to him? He going. I want to see him. I'd like him to come and spend an afternoon with me and ask him to go and fetch him. Don't come about him. I said, he's getting down to go and fetch him. I'm sure the poor man shook in his boots if he had any. Whenever he got the word, David wants to see you. For he's very likely going to cut me to pieces. Because I'm a Mephibosheth. David, the son of David's greatest enemy. David's compassion, and you could do with more than that. There's a lot of God to see your people could do with a little bit more compassion. You think about that. You sit in your own comfortable home and thank God for it. If you don't, you ought to do. Think about God's people. That is just as dear in the heart of God as you are, and them also in a particular sense. Compassion. Go and fetch the fellowship. You and I want a little bit more compassion. You're on it alone with God in prayer. Night or day or both. And the night you can't sleep, that's the time to pray, and pray plenty. And be thankful to God for the opportunity, for the time may come when you'll not be able to pray, and the heavens are like glass. And you can't tell why. God's just trying to see how you can get on without praying, without fellowship with Him. If you can do that, well, God pity you, you might need to be born again. Now the next thing is that after David compassion for poor Mephibosheth, I'm not going to say that David sympathy. Chapter 10. And he said to his servant, go and tell Haman, the king of the Ammonites, go and tell him, his son, I'm going to sympathize with him. His father is dead. This created, sitting with David, sitting with God, created sympathy, pity. King of Canaan, king of the Ammonites, king, the foreign king, But David owed him a compliment, for his men took care of David's men one time, and David didn't forget that. And he sent three messengers, I think if I remember right, to go home and sympathize, convey sympathy, condolence, consolation, whatever you like to put it, to go and tell the dead king's son, convey his sympathy to him. And these three men went. And like many an old foolish king, he listened to the claptrap of his friends instead of listening to God's word. Many a king did that, even David did that. From his friends, the king's dead king's son listened to the princes. And they said, "Do you think David sent a sympathy? You're not that foolish, are you? It only sent these men as spies to spy out the land, and by he'll come in and wipe us all out. And this young man listened to these men of his princes, and what was the result? He took David's men and treated them shamefully." That didn't affect David, showed him his course, consolation or condolence. That wasn't David's fault. But notice it. He shaved off half their beards. And they put the tools off of the mattocks. And the men were ashamed. It's a pity a lot of women weren't ashamed. The short clothes. These men were ashamed. And David heard them, he sent them word, "Tarry at Jericho, till your beards be grown. Not going to go any further. I've said before you what I believe God laid on my heart, that change that being alone with God makes. And most of you know it, if you don't, God pity you. I would advise you to get down to the business this very night, what a change it makes in my life, in my heart, in my home, with the neighbors. And maybe there's some nasty neighbors. There you get grace and help and power from heaven to be a blessing to them. What could you left here for? To be a blessing. If I'm not a blessing, then why? What's the use of my living? None whatever. Maybe you could do a little better job of that tonight. In the meeting or after the meeting is over, preaching in Toronto one time in a great big posh assembly. I got the idea in my head that I was somebody from someplace. And so we're preaching this great big place and a big assembly and a good assembly. I don't mind what I preached on, but I know you'll have an idea what kind of a line I was on, something for them just now. And after the meeting was over, I went down to shake hands with the ladies and gentlemen. And one great big lady came down, "Man, I was thankful to God she was my wife. She was an awful bully." And she come right to me and she says, "Mr. Knox, you preached at me all night." I to myself, God's working this man's conscience. I stood and said nothing, and maybe it's hard to say nothing sometimes. And I looked all up. And maybe I can look at people when I like. And I said nothing. And she said, "You pointed to me." And he looked at me. "Well, you can't be up here without looking at somebody, brother." The woman lost her temper. Why? Because God showed her her sin while the meeting was going on. She didn't make nothing of me. She went right across the other side, the other aisle. She went another big lady like herself. She said, "Hold on," she said, "will you, for God's sake, forgive me. God found me out in the meeting tonight. Might find somebody out in this meeting tonight. Man, it'll be a great blessing. God bless his holy word, who too, for the man that needs it most, who lost myself. I've no right whatever to preach to people what I don't practice. Or whatever they need more than they need. That these three things about David particularly, his compassion, chapter 9 over Mephibosheth, his compassion over Mephibosheth, his condolence to the King Hanan, Hanan King of the Ammonites. And not only that, but his sympathy, pity, his power. Then went King David. After God said, no, I'll not let you build me a house. I'll build you one. And I'll let your son Solomon build a house. And I wouldn't preach on Solomon for a life of mine. The best king that ever reigned, the wisest man, the wealthiest man, was King Solomon. And